Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Sudarshan Chemical Industries Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ankur Periwal of Axis Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Inba. Good morning, friends, and welcome to Sudarshan Chemical Industries Limited Q2 FY23 post-result earnings call. The call will be initiated with a brief management discussion on the quarterly and first half performance, followed by an interactive Q&A session. Management team will be represented by Mr. Rajesh Rathi, Managing Director, and Mr. Neelkanth Natu, Chief Financial Officer. Over to you, Rathi, for the initial comments.
Thank you. Thank you, Axis Capital and Ankur Periwal, for hosting our earnings call. Myself, Neelkanth Natu, I will be giving the opening remark. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Sudarshan's Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. Our investor presentation has been uploaded on the stock exchanges for your ready reference. I would like to take you through the financial highlights for this quarter. It was indeed again a very challenging quarter, both on the sales as well as margin front. On a consolidated basis, total income from operations stood at 528 crore as compared to rupees 498 crore for the same period last year, reporting a growth of 6% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 43 crore compared to rupees 53 crore in Q2 FY22. EBITDA margin stood at 8.1% as compared to 10.6% over the same period last year. Profit after tax is at rupees 5 crore compared to rupees 23 crore for the same period last year. On half-yearly basis, total income from operations stood at rupees 1,083 crore versus rupees 972 crore in the same period last year, a growth of 11%. EBITDA for H1 is at rupees 84 crore versus rupees 115 crore last year, and EBITDA margin is at 7.8% versus 11.8% over the same period last year. PAT is at rupees 12 crore compared to rupees 49 crore for the same period in the last year. Now going into the details of our pigment business. For the quarter, income from operations stood at rupees 476 crore as compared to rupees 448 crore for the same period last year, a growth of 6% year-on-year. However, most of this increase is due to price corrections, and there has been volume degrowth both in India as well as export markets. India sales for the quarter is at rupees 235 crore as compared to rupees 239 crore in the same period last year. We have continued seeing buying decisions deferment by the customer due to volatility in overall prices, which has resulted in lower inventory levels at the customer ends. Especially in the plastic segment, it has impacted due to the volatility in polymer prices, which remained throughout the quarter. In the coating segment, all the coating companies were upbeat in Q1 about the season and generated healthy demand and increased the inventory levels. Unfortunately, due to the extended monsoon, demand for paint did not pick up as anticipated. Growth was seen more in economy and commodity product segments of the coating industry, which is economy, emulsion, undercoats, et cetera, where we have a lesser presence. Overall, this has led to the lower demand generation for our product as majority of the coating companies optimized its requirement from the inventory built up in the quarter one. However, our market share in coating and plastic has been well-maintained. Export for the quarter is at rupees 242 crore compared to rupees 209 crore, a growth of 15% year-on-year. However, geopolitical situation due to Russia-Ukraine war, supply chain constraint, tightening of the monetary policy by majority of the central bank to control inflation, rising interest rates are leading to subdued demand across majority of the region. Euro has witnessed major demand disruption, and China zero COVID policy has also led to overall demand contraction. Specialty pigments sales stood at Rs. 331 crore as compared to Rs. 302 crore for the previous year, same quarter, up by 9%. Non-specialty sales for the quarter is at Rs. 145 crore as compared to 146 crore for the same period last year. Gross margin for the quarter is at 39% as compared to 44% for the same period. Raw material prices during the quarter were at relatively stable level, driven mainly due to lower demand and subsequent price corrections of majority price drivers such as Brent crude, benzene and toluene prices. However, due to higher inventory levels, we could not accrue this benefit immediately. Apart from the raw material cost, we continue to see energy costs at an elevated level. Coal prices have gone up further, and this is pushing up the manufacturing cost. EBITDA for the quarter stood at Rs. 39 crore as compared to Rs. 50 crore in Q2 FY22, and the margin, EBITDA margin is at 8.2% compared to 11.2% over the same period last year. As mentioned earlier, overall geopolitical scenario and tighter monetary policy resulting in subdued demand leading to volume degrowth in certain segments and geographies. This has also resulted in pricing pressure leading to short pass-through of the cost increases. Both these factors have impacted margins both in absolute as well as in percentage terms. Given the difficult external environment, management is aggressively focusing on structural cost reduction initiatives, which has reflected in the EBITDA margin percentage for the quarter. With direct as well as indirect cost, material cost pressure lingering, we will have to continue with our pricing decisions with calibrated approach to balance on volume growth. Now coming to CapEx project, which is our thrust for future growth. We are in the growth phase to implement overall CapEx of 750 crore, out of which we have put to use assets worth Rs. 620 crore till now. Balance 110 crore projects are in CWIP. All these projects are at advanced stage of completion and we expect commercialization soon. About 85% of our CapEx has been put to use and started generating a good demand. For the new product CapEx, we are getting the good responses from the customers, and these products are at advanced stage of customer evaluations. However, due to demand contraction, the revenue ramp up is slightly getting delayed. In the midterm, the management remains confident to accrue the benefit as these are the specialty products and should generate good demand, and product line remains very attractive. I will just hand it over to Mr. Rathi for his view on the midterm.
Thank you so much, Mr. Nathu. I think the current results should be seen in view of the global situation. However, the midterm to long term, the company sees a very bright perspective, given that we have built the broadest portfolio in the industry, and we've also built good techno-commercial capabilities. So we do expect midterm and long term to kind of look at improved margins. The matter is, it's a little difficult to predict when this turnaround would happen given the current geopolitical situation. But as soon as I think demand is back, all our capexes start firing, we should be able to see a far better situation. Right. Yes, over to you, Mr. Nath.
Yeah, thank you, sir. So thank you, participant. We look forward to our continuing our growth journey and delivering value to our all our stakeholders. With this, we now open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Sharan Nandipur, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, as you mentioned, the energy costs are high, which is impacting the margin and profit. How long it is going to be there as per your view? And also, from when you will be able to pass on the price to your customers? Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, yes. So this is Rajesh here. I think given the current situation, we do see the India demand to be improving. However, the global context, the geopolitical situation kind of continues to be intense, and we do see a contraction of demand, especially in Europe and China. Given this context, I think Q3 we expect some improvements in the results. We are taking a very cautious stand where we increase prices but don't lose volumes, right? So we are maintaining a very delicate balance there.
Okay, and the second question is on the two of your competitors who are exiting this domain. So from when exactly you are going to get benefit from them, and you will see the profit and additional volume coming to you because of they exiting the business?
So there's a balance of headwinds and tailwinds. So there are several headwinds because of demand contraction, etc., but there are certain tailwinds, like some competitors exiting the business, and also the high energy cost in Europe, right? So this should give us some tailwinds, in the coming quarters, that our competitors will not be competitive, but there's a balance between the headwinds and tailwinds. So we do expect, certain benefits to start coming, especially from Q4.
Okay. Yeah, and last question on the new product launch. A couple of quarters you have launched the new products, right? Can you throw some light on those, like new products, from when they are going to give a benefit, and the capacity utilization will be from when it will be almost full for the new products?
Yeah, sir. So I think several of the, like we said in our commentary, several of our new products are just being put to use. There are two product lines still we have to put to use. So there is a good attraction of demand for these products. However, given the slowdown, the sales acceleration is a little slow. The one product, yellow product, which we had launched some time ago, that we are able to hit our targeted volumes, and we are able to get good response for that. So,
okay. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for all the answers, sir.
Yeah.
All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal of Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So first, if I look on the revenue side, on the domestic side, we were seeing decent volume or revenue growth, till Q1, but there is some slowdown now. Is it largely led by the demand pushback that you talked of earlier, or if you can probably share your thoughts on segments, yeah, the key segments in the domestic market?
Sure. So basically, sir, in the India market, I think what we have seen is that in the plastic segment, we have seen a big either differing the decision because polymer prices were dropping, so inventory in the supply chain was very low, or the second thing is there was polymer availability issues in Q1, right? So the plastic demand there has been very, very sluggish there. In terms of coatings, the coatings, the economic coating segments have been, have increased more than the premium where our products play, right? So that's where we see a little bit of a demand contraction. However, I would like to restate that we have not lost our market share or we've not lost any of our wallet share. So we are keeping a very close eye on that. And it's just given the current situation. And as I mentioned, we are already seeing some improvement in demand in the India market.
Sure. And similarly, on the international side, the numbers are broadly, we have been able to manage, the quarterly run rate there. But as you mentioned, there is a volumetric decline and the pricing wise, there is an improvement, which is where the growth is coming from. Any thoughts with respect to specific geographies? Maybe Europe is hit more or, if you can provide some color there.
Sure. Sure, sir. I think Europe and China, has been hit. Europe, because of the energy crisis and the demand contraction in Europe. In China, given the zero COVID policy, I think demand has been very, very subdued. Also, there is a anti-dumping duty proposed on thalocyanine pigments levied by China on all the Indian producers. So these have hit us and the industry quite badly. Navaji, you would like to add something?
Okay. So Ankur, as we have mentioned that the export demand remains subdued, and with this overall tightening monetary policy, the inflation rates is higher, interest rates are going higher. We see that the demand will remain in the same range. The regions which we mentioned impacted was Europe, wherein we saw the demand contraction. China, as Mr. Rajesh Rathi has mentioned, has been due to zero COVID policy, has been the demand disrupted. The new one, which is the anti-dumping, which we have mentioned on the thalocyanine for the India exporter to China, this is something we have to watch out for.
Sure. And sir, if you can share the broad revenue breakup, as in revenue contribution coming from Europe and China put together?
So Ankur, Nilkan here. So we don't give the split up region wise, but Europe being our major subsidiary, it is a material subsidiary. That portion is available in the public domain, but we don't give it right now here.
Sure, no worries. And sir, lastly, on the capex that is coming for a completion. So CWIP of around 190 odd crores. Large part of it, or maybe the entire this CWIP will be put to use by the end of this financial year. And secondly, on the new product side, if you can share your thoughts in terms of product approvals and how the clients have been taking it, both domestic and international.
Yes, sir. I think most of the capex should be put to use by December end. In terms of, if you look at our capexes, most of the new product capexes are getting put to use now. So we expect, there is a good product, the product, like Nazuji mentioned, the product approval cycle is working well. However, due to the sluggish demand, we are seeing a little bit of a slow demand. That's one area. The yellow pigment, which we had, launched earlier, we are seeing a very good demand and as per expectation, we are kind of looking at that. Some of the cogen investments which we had done for improving our EBITDA, those are not playing out well because of the coal price increases. So all those benefits which we had approved for that, that's not playing out well on those.
Okay. Great, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take our next question, we'd like to remind participants to ask a question, you may enter star and one. Our next question is from the line of Meet Vora from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question was on the gross margin side. So we QOQ or whatever, we are seeing around 300 basis points dip in our gross margins, primarily because of high cost inventory that we had maintained. Because in our deflationary environment, our crude oil and benzene prices have been falling. So your view on that, and secondly on cost control measures, what specific things we are doing? So that, you know, how are we going to look at overhead going forward?
Hi, Mr. Nilkant here. So on the gross margin, the year-on-year gross margin percentage, what you have seen is 3 to 4%, this is down. But last year, H1, it was a period where the inflation has just started in terms of the cost inflation, and where, pricing pass-through was happening. And we were able to push the prices early in the market. So that was a trend. But if you really see the Q3, Q4, the gross margin has settled in the last year in the range of around 41 to 42%. If I see the quarter-on-quarter gross margin, reduction, it has been around 1% plus. This has been majorly because we have seen the raw material prices getting stabilized. We had some raw material inventory. At the same time, considering the subdued and lower demand in the market, we have to take those calls to have our market share and volume protected. So there has been a short pass-through in terms of, maintaining that volume, which has been a conscious call. We see that this should get revived over a period once we start the demand getting picking up. And we see the raw material prices to be stable. At a given point of time, we really don't know how again the geopolitical situation will play out. But with this, we should see some bit of, traction and gaining the momentum in the coming quarters. In terms of the cost reduction, considering this difficult external environment, we as a management has taken a various structural cost initiatives, and we are looking at all the costs which are fixed in nature or which can be controlled irrespective of whether it is a manufacturing or whether it is an employee or whether it is any other cost. So those cost initiatives are put in place and we are rigorously monitoring that. We expect some benefit also, this benefit should come in place. If you really see our EBITDA percentage, while the sales has been lower compared to Q1, the EBITDA margin is at around the same percent. So it shows that cost has been tightly controlled. And we will continue to monitor that. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dhruv Muchhal from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, sir. So the question was, in some of the products where China is dominant, we are seeing that because of their local weakness, they have become more aggressive in exports. So is there a similar trend that you see in even in pigments for your domestic market and probably even in Europe? And if that is true, what is the level of intensity? If you can give some thought there, has the low on pricing already achieved, or still the aggressiveness continues, or where are we in that phase? If it's there,
so we do see some aggressive pricing in within India and the Middle East region, but I think the other regions. The other regions, we don't see that so much happening from India, right?
So China is not very intense. I was trying to understand.
I didn't understand your question. Then I'm apologies.
I was trying to understand. In some of the other commodities, we see that China is, because of the local weakness, exporting a lot to in other countries.
Yeah, absolutely. Given the very weak demand in China, China has especially been very aggressive in Southeast Asia, right? In US there is an anti-dumping duty, so that doesn't work out much for them. But in Southeast Asia, we've seen a lot of aggressive pricing from, in especially the inks area from China. Yeah.
and Europe, and some comments on the intensity of this. I mean, where are we in this phase of the aggression?
So I think given the in terms of China has already hit the bottom. I don't see this happening more. And that's where, we have been trying to maintain our volumes in some of these countries. We are still sticking to the wicket, and even if we have to manage with a lower margin there, right? We are looking at, we are hoping that some of the China demand revives, the zero COVID policy is looked into, etc. The demand normalizes there. And then I think China should become a little more less aggressive, right?
Sure, sir. And related to this is, so there was also an issue, at least for last 3-4 quarters, that the RM prices were very high and increasing consistently. Given the demand weakness, do you see a relief in RM prices? I understand the demand can be weak, volumes can be weak, but can there be some offset from RM price decline? Or are the RM products something which goes into many products, so it is not pigments which influences the RM pricing, and hence we will not see a significant influence?
So we are seeing a softening of our RM prices, and some of the customers do expect to pass that on, given that we had increased some of these prices. So on a selective basis, we are looking at where the opportunities, and we do pass those on, right? But we are seeing a considerable softening in the raw material prices.
Okay. Yeah.
But that will not lead to meaningful, given the situation, in your view, given the demand situation.
Given
meaningful improvement in the gross margins, given the.
So I think the question really comes in is how does volume a little bit pick up, and that's where we will be able to for the industry, everyone sees the volume, and that's how we would be able to improve the gross margin going forward.
Got it, sir. So last two questions is, earlier we were also impacted significantly because of the high sea freight rates in Europe and US, and which have been our major markets for exports. Now we have seen they have come down very significantly, although probably a bit still higher than the pre-COVID levels. But do you see any benefit from that in terms of your competitiveness to these markets now?
Absolutely, sir. You rightly said they've softened, but not to the original levels. We should see that favorable for us going forward.
So can you give some quantitative sense just for us to understand what was the impact, say, pre-COVID, what was the cost, how did it change post-COVID, I mean, the peak of the sea freight, and what it would be now, just to understand, trying to understand how, what was the impact for us, and how can that change?
It's not alone. Just one second, huh?
Some relative sense. I mean, I understand we get the numbers for the sea freight, the index numbers, but how does it impact us in terms of probably per kg of our product or percentage of our product that way?
Yeah.
So, Dhruv, hi, Nilkant here. So, we will not be able to share the specific on the call, but if I see the freight prices and that too in terms of the export market, The issues were twofold. One was the container availability, that is a logistic challenge, and second was the skyrocketing rates. We had seen for particular segments to Europe and USA, the rates has been going up as high as 300%, three times the cost which we had seen in the pre-COVID, during the pre-COVID stage. While we are seeing the softening of this particular freight rate on the select routes, it is still above the pre-COVID level, but it is not what we had seen as a peak, which is a three times. It is now coming in an average range of 150 to 200% in between that range. But we see the softening, and majority of the softening of this rate has happened during Q2, that is the late part of Q2 from August onward. We will see the benefit to come in the coming quarters.
So because even in the annual report, I don't get the split of expenses of freight and forwarding. So I'm just trying to understand what was the pre-COVID levels as percentage of sales, what did it change to, and what can it be in future? Just to get some qualitative, quantitative sense in terms of what the implication could be.
But one part here, as a percentage to the sale, we were able to maintain the percentage to the some extent.
No, he's saying it should be going forward.
We'll look at it. What you know, what can be shared,
and then
we'll put it on. We'll look at this. What can be shared, and definitely do that. Yeah.
Sure, sir. And so one last question just to squeeze is your new products, I understand some products are still ramping up, but in your yellow pigment, the newly launched yellow pigment, do you see the margin profile similar to what you were expecting or you were targeting, or any comments there?
Basically the pricing which we expected, we are getting that. Some of our initial costs were a little higher because of the teething issues, etc., you know, in yields in terms of conversion costs, which the team is working on it, and we see going forward to attain those margins, right? And it should be in a very short term that we should be able to attain those margins.
Great, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from the line of Viral Shah from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Thank you
so much.
Sir, I have a few questions.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. Shah, we can't hear you clearly.
Is this better? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you for the opportunity. So a few questions from my end. Firstly, sir, on the volumes, while I appreciate that you do not share the volume numbers, but can you just help us understand from the peak volumes, now how much our volumes would be down?
Yes. Volume is down by about 9%.
Okay. But from the peak, would we have seen a 20-25% drop in volumes, or that would not be the case?
I think we'll look at it, sir. We don't have an answer offhand on
that. Sure. Sir, secondly, just on the raw material side, we believe that we've seen possibly the peak of raw material prices. So would it be possible to share as a basket what is the kind of price decline that we've seen on our raw material side?
Viral, can you please repeat your question? There was some disturbance.
Sure. So just on the raw material side, I wanted to understand as a basket of raw material, how would our raw material basket have behaved? So let's say if it was 100 in August or September, what would it currently be?
So we have a wide, so Viralji, it's a difficult question to answer on a call. We'll study how we can kind of publish this information,
But at least the key raw materials, would we have seen a single digit decline in pricing or a double digit decline in pricing, just in directionally if you could guide?
So Viral, in couple of commodities, we have seen a single digit decline. It has been the early sign of, the raw material getting softened. We have not seen the correction to the extent of double digit. It has been just early sign, and it has been in the single digit.
Sure. To one of the earlier questions, you said that there is some RM softening, and we may look to pass on. So just to understand, sir, our EBITDA margins have actually dropped from 15 or 16% to around 8%. And in an inflationary scenario, we were not able to fully pass on the price rise. So once the deflationary scenario is starting, why are we looking to pass on prices? Is it that competitive intensity remains high, or is there something else that we should be looking at?
So two things, sir. One is, given the demand contraction in the market, we want to ensure that we are not losing our market share, right? That's one. The second is the EBITDA margins have dropped also due to lower volumes, right? So as we gain back our volumes, our EBITDAs, the EBITDA should improve, right? With a better leverage on the operating cost.
Yeah.
So we are taking very calculated decisions. We are not saying that en masse we are going to reduce prices to the full extent. We are looking very calculatively what we need to do, etc. And as I said, there are certain tailwinds because the energy costs in Europe are high. So our competitors from Europe are significantly looking at a higher cost compared to us.
Sure. So just on the demand bit, as you said, the volumes continue to remain low. So is it possible to throw some light how the exports are behaving in October and November? Well, domestic, you did guide that you are seeing improvement, but can you just guide how is exports?
So exports remain currently are at the same level, sir. We've not seen any improvement in exports, especially in Europe and China.
Just last bit on the clarification, you said China has imposed ADD on Indian imports. So have they already imposed ADD, or are they still evaluating?
So it's a provisional duty right now. And for all thalocyanine imports, the provisional duty is, the confirmation will come later, but right now it's a provisional duty.
And what would the rate be, sir? Would it be different for different pigments, or there's a blanket duty?
Only for thalocyanine, sir. Only for thalocyanine pigments.
So what would that number be, sir?
So it ranges between 14%.
14%.
14 to 19%.
Okay. And just one last thing, sir. These other expenses during the quarter have seen a drop from 135 odd crores that was there in the last quarter to 118 crores. Would it be possible to highlight the reason for this?
Hi, Viral. Nilkant here. So, as we mentioned earlier in the call, we have taken the structural cost reduction initiative. So, that is also helping us during the quarter. And as well as we mentioned, the volume has regrown. There has been some variable costs which are linked to the production. That has also been on the lower side.
Sure. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Amar Moria from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions from my side. Firstly, sir, I mean, I know the results are bad, scenario is not that great. But if we see the green shoots which are available to you, first is that you are talking about domestic business recovery. Second, you are saying that new product launches are seeing good traction, specifically the yellow pigment, I believe, where the bulk of the capex was there, around 350 to 370 crore. And then you are saying international freights, because you have the contract till Q2. So from Q3, the international freight prices are also going to decline for us. So don't you see that these all three things will bring some improvement in your profitability?
So, sir, like we said, firstly, sir, I think the figure is not correct, and we've not declared ever that the yellow 138 figure. So, the figure is not correct. It's not that high, right? So, there were several projects, several products which we've gone into the capexes, and several of the capexes have just got completed, right?
Okay.
So that is one.
Of course, there are several tailwinds and most importantly, a management focus on controlling costs, right? So these are working very well for us. However, there are several headwinds too, right? So it's a balance between the headwinds and tailwinds, and that's where we are not coming out saying, and we don't know how this is going to pan out, right? So it's a little difficult to say how Europe is going to come out. We are talking about, you know, US, we've been doing well, but we are still seeing now contraction of demand there, right? So from that perspective, we are kind of, we have a neutral view right now, right? That's where we come through that.
And secondly, like, you know, so what is the big problem you are seeing? Are you seeing that the volume degrowth which you are seeing in the international market is the big problem for you?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Okay. And are you also seeing the volume degrowth in the domestic market as well?
The last quarter was, like I said, we are seeing some recovery there.
So basically, let's say going into the Q3, do we see the domestic volume growth or volume degrowth?
I think we should recover. We should recover the volumes, whatever was degrown.
Okay. And then, sir, then in the international side, basically, don't you see that, as you said, that, you know, Europe prices, Europe players, I mean, majority of your competitors are European and they would be having their facilities in Europe. And as you said that their cost has increased dramatically. So don't you see that some of the volume, because their prices would have gone up significantly high, some of the volume which you can attract from that business also?
So, sir, like I said, these are the tailwinds, right? And there's a balance between the tailwinds and the headwinds, right?
Correct.
And how it plays out is a question, because as in the earlier question, we also mentioned that, China, there is a lot of free capacity because of the lower demand within China, right?
Correct.
So they are also very aggressive. So there is a balance of that, and that's where we are saying that, that's where we are saying there's a balanced view on that.
Okay, so basically you are not seeing that any early indication of this Europe cost prices going up. So you are not likely to get some benefit out of that? Because I believe Europe is the major competition, right, for you in terms of your all players, whether Clariant, BASF.
Yeah, yeah. So Europe is a competition, and saying we should get some tailwinds there. Yes, sir.
So because why I'm saying, sir, you know, when the when the scenario is negative, everybody is going to see that way only. But you know, I'm just trying to understand that, you know, lot of green shoots, don't you see that, you know, visible for you at this point of time, which may not culminate immediately. But at least going into two quarters, don't you see that these all tailwinds will basically benefit you ultimately?
Like I mentioned in the our opening remarks, that midterm, long term, we are very bullish on both. You know, we have the broadest portfolio. We are in a low cost region. We have immense technical capabilities. You know, including technical marketing. We have the commercial reach. So I think we have a lot going for us. It's a matter of the current scenario. It's just the current scenario, geopolitical situation, what's happening, right? That's where we are, sir.
So let's say, sir, going by Q4, till Q4, do you see that something will normalize for us? It's just a one quarter of kind of a pain which is just left?
So it's very difficult to predict accurately, right? That's why I'm saying that... So we would not like to make forward-looking predictions exactly. I can tell you directionally what it is, right? Directionally, the fundamentals of the company are very strong, right? So that's where I think we are coming.
And sir, lastly, sir, the new products, like, you know, yellow pigment took a lot of time to basically get the approval and pick up. So all the other new CapExes which we had done, are we going to take same time for that, or this would be absorbed faster than the earlier one?
I think it should be faster because the other products go into various industries, not just paints, right? And also, we did have a lot of teething issues with yellow 138, which we are not seeing so much with the other products.
Okay.
Mr. Maurya, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Maybe I
request you to return to the queue. Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Gina Shah from Auriga Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I'm new to the company, so just wanted to understand a couple of things. The yellow pigment that you spoke about, the new product, can you just talk about it in terms of the differentiating factor there?
Sir, can you repeat your question, please?
Yes, sorry. Am I audible now?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, okay. So just want to, I'm new to the company, so just wanted to get a basic understanding of the new product, the yellow pigment, and its basic characteristics versus the other products.
Sure, sure. So this is a very unique yellow high-performance pigment product for mainly the paint application, which has very good weather fastness. There are only one or two other producers in the world, and probably Sudarshan is the third producer in the world. And this was one of our flagship products and the first one which was introduced in our CapEx program.
Okay, thanks. And lastly, what I wanted to understand was that in a normal environment, all the CapEx that has been spent, how many years would you take for it to get fully utilized?
Our normal would be 3 to 4 years, sir.
Normal would be 3 to 4 years. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Arthur Shah from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So basically, sir, just wanted your view on in terms of margins, if you have to take a call. You think, you know, we have hit the bottom and there's a possibility directionally we will move up from here. I know quantum will be difficult, but if you have to take a call in terms of probability, how much probability will you assign that margins would directionally go up from here?
Hi Atul, this is Nilkant. So yes, given the current scenario and what margin we have reported now, with the outlook on the India market, which should get revived, considering that export remain at the same level, raw material prices getting softer, and we are able to calibrate our pricing pass through, we expect that margin should improve. Maybe the immediate recovery may not be seen in the quarter, but over a period in a quarter or two, we will start looking at the upward trajectory in terms of our margin.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Deep Paul, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is regarding the competitive landscape. So can you please comment on some Indian origin competitors and Chinese origin competitors, how they are faring compared to our product portfolio?
So on an overall basis, I think we have the broadest product portfolio in terms of you know, high performance pigment, classical azo pigments, classical thalocyanines, solvent dyes, you know, CICPs, effect pigments, right? You know, if you look at our product portfolio, you combine the number one and number two, that would be our product portfolio. Most of the Asian competitors have a very limited product portfolio and also limited capabilities on go-to-market and technical marketing. This coming to the short-term scenario, I think probably amongst the amongst the industry, so I think the industry has been facing a concern currently on both margins and volumes.
Okay, that's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now hand the floor back to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Ankur and Axis Capital, and thank you, participants, for your time and interest in Sudarshan Chemicals. As we mentioned in the opening para, this has been indeed the difficult quarter, and we had seen the H1 being in a difficult, H1. However, we remain confident in our longer-term prospects of our business, and we look forward to engaging with you again in future. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.